Good evening, and welcome back to the Know Your Role Player Podcast. I'm your host, J215 Forever. Follow your boy on IG, and on my Instagram is my podcast page, link in bio, right? Page is at KnowYourRolePlayer_podcast. The best way that you can listen to this podcast is to download the Anchor app. That's anchor.fm/KNOWYAROLEPLAYER. Right, and all episodes including this one becomes available now. All right, guys, welcome back. All right, we are back. Today is Monday, December 11th. We got a lot to get to, but let me start off with an apology. I have not been podding. I don't think I've podded in about 2 weeks. All right, I was sick for a week and then I had some stuff going on, so I want to talk about the future of the pod schedule. I'm running back to 3 days a week, all right? Monday, Wednesday, Friday for the end of the year. We'll do that next year to the Friday first month of January, and then maybe I'll scale back a little bit. But I want to get over 100 episodes, so I got to scale them up, right? And I apologize to everybody that's been missing the pod, right? That's the first things first. You always want to be transparent. All right, so we got a lot to get into, and let's talk about Adam Silver for a second. So one, I have to give Adam Silver a round of applause with the in-season tournament. This is probably, I don't know where to rank this, like in sports, like a thing that you did that you didn't really, you know, before the season, you was like talking about a tournament. I remember how much I bashed. I was like, it's so stupid to make a tournament in the season. Like, why would you do that? And it was so necessary because, you know, there was like a playoff atmosphere in some of those games. And it just made the games more competitive. And, you know, the thing about the tournament is that all teams had a chance. You know, a lot of people complained about the point margin, but I don't have a problem with it. You know, it is what it is. And hey, if you don't like the point margin, how about be more competitive and don't lose by that number? You know, again, it was a great idea, and we have to congratulate the Los Angeles Lakers. Speaking of the Lakers, I like to pat myself on the back for a second. If y'all remember before the season, I did talk about how I believed that the Los Angeles Lakers were going to be the best team. Not the best team in NBA, the team to win the championship towards the end of the year, right? And I based it off of last year's playoff implications where they smothered teams on defense, where they dominated the glass, when Anthony Davis and LeBron would just outplay everybody, and they just usually had another guy step up, whether that be Russell sometimes or other guys, right? And or Austin Reeves. And that same exact theory finally happened. The Los Angeles Lakers won the in-season tournament, defeating the Indiana Pacers. They won that Saturday, final score 123-109, right? They really switched up the coverages on my man Tyrese Haliburton. For some people, Tyrese Haliburton had a coming-out party. Not for me, man. He's kind of been that guy. It was good, though. It was good for Indiana, and it's good for the NBA to kind of see a new face. And it was kind of interesting because, you know, I say this, like, I don't know who the official new face of the NBA is, right? Until LeBron James retires, he's the guy. But they've been kind of marketing some people. Sometimes you thought, hey, Giannis, a great story, a guy from Nigeria that works hard to come over and, you know, dominates the NBA, real humble guy coming into the NBA. Then you got Luka overseas, you know, the protege. You got Jason Tatum, you know, playing for the Celtics. There were so many guys. And it's interesting because now Tyrese Haliburton could be a name that you think is the future of the face. Again, for a long time, it was, you know, I say faces of the league. Because to me, LeBron was for the most part a face, but Kobe was the face. You know, Jordan, Iverson, T-Mac. The guys had times where they were faces of the league, right? And it's just important that Haliburton got that coming out stage. He's been that guy. Now, if y'all remember, I talked about Tyrese Haliburton in college. Not to pat myself on the back, but yeah. Tyrese Haliburton, Desmond Bane. I'm going to do that again this year, too. My draft, I want to have a lot of draft episodes, and I want to talk about guys that I think are going to do well in the NBA. Now, there's a couple of guys that are still pending, so I ain't going to tap myself in the back because I'm not always right, but I really did appreciate it with him. He and the Pacers did. Now, the thing about this game is that, you know, when you saw the Lakers play the Pacers, to me, I run to the numbers, right? And the Pacers give up the most points in the paint, and, you know, if you have a large paint presence, he should dominate. Well, guess who decided to dominate on Saturday? Anthony Davis, right? A very emotional monstrous game. He has his first 40-point game of the season. Finishes with 41 points, 20 rebounds, and 5 assists off of 16 off of 24 shooting. And it was so important because, like, Davis is probably the most frustrating player in the league, right? Because out here all the time is, yo, Davis is better than Embiid. The thing with Davis and Embiid is, I won't lie and say that Davis doesn't have a higher peak than Embiid, because at times he does. He can just do things that probably Embiid can. But the thing that Embiid can do that Davis doesn't do is consistently. If Embiid was as inconsistent as Davis, the Sixers would be under 500. If Embiid ever was not the best player on his team, the Sixers would be under 500. And with Davis, it's kind of like this this tease he gives you, right? Where he can really just go out there and absolutely dominate. But then other times, he can just kind of, you know, let guys dominate him, don't impose his will, have one good game, have one bad game. And it's just really confusing, you know? So you ask yourself, can this be more consistent? So again, if the Lakers are ever to move forward, right, and ever to progress in the league, it's not going to be on LeBron. LeBron did play well. He finished with 11 rebounds, 4 assists, and 24 points over 10 out of 21 shooting. But this was the Anthony Davis show, and it was supposed to be, right? Again, LeBron is 39 years old. It is time for Davis to dominate. So I hope that he carries this energy and propels him forward towards the second half, not the second half, towards post-tournament play, right? And that's pretty much it on that. Like I said, I talked about the Pacers, but overall, the tournament was a lot of fun. It was engaging. It gave the beginning of the season purpose, and I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I was really harsh on the tournament. It was confusing, but I think it's great. I hope we can extend it a little bit longer. The other thing the tournament's done is it kind of gives certain teams a break. If you weren't in this playoff, I think he had like a tournament day, then a league day, then a tournament day. So guys should be well-rested, you know. I think it kind of also sets up for guys to play. With the tournament and the new rules about you have to play a certain amount of games to get in these NBA awards, it's kind of really pushing for, like, re-emphasize some pride in the regular season. And I absolutely love it. You know, I hope that this trend continues to move forward. And that's pretty much it on that. All right, so the next thing that I would like to talk about is the Golden State Warriors. So unfortunately for them, the Golden State Warriors lost again 138-136 in overtime. They have now lost they're kind of up and down, right? So they lost their last game to OKC. They barely won versus a Portland team that's down Brogdon and DeAndre Ayton, all right? They lost a heartbreaking loss to the Clippers, and then they beat the Clippers, right? They lose a heartbreaking loss to the Kings, and then they beat the Spurs by 6. They lose again to the Suns, and then they beat the Rockets. All close games. So there's kind of a consistent theme with the Warriors. It's kind of like, I'm not going to say play down or up to their competition, but kind of up and down play for some of the other guys. And again, Steph Curry has been great again. It's not him that you question why the Warriors aren't good. You know, if you look at the OKC game, he plays 40 minutes, right? So one, he brings it. Two, 10 out of 20 from the field. He should take more than 20 shots. 6 out of 12 from the three-point line, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 34 points. Draymond Green made a horrible foul to take this game into overtime, fouling Chet Holmgren and fouling him shooting a 3, allow him to tie the game, which takes it overtime, which they win in overtime. And that's kind of unacceptable. Now, Draymond did play pretty well, 13 assists, 12 points. He was really good at engaging guys, kind of helping the Warriors on offense and setting the tone. But, you know, when I look at this Warriors team, Steve Kerr kept saying that, you know, I'm not going to make a decision on the starting lineup yet. I'm not going to make a decision on the starting lineup. Then I go to the bench and I say, well, let's look at the bench. So I've said consistently, and I'm not going to change my stance, that to me, in order for the Warriors to grow, players that are younger that can improve their game have to grow, right? That means Moses Moody. Again, I don't know what they think of Moses Moody. If they don't believe in him, then they should trade him. But Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga should be playing 30 minutes. So Kuminga did play 30 minutes. He played about 29, 10 out of 21 from the field, 12 rebounds and 24 points. Absolutely great. Moody, not so much. 1 out of 6 from the three-point line. And there was a couple things. So Bill Simmons, shout out to him, recently talked about trading Kuminga and Moody for Pascal Siakam. So I don't mind that because Siakam is good. He can defend. He can pass. He can finish at the rim. He's an okay shooter, but he would just make the Warriors kind of hum. You know, he's a high IQ player, and he's kind of a player that they would need. right? But I don't know. I don't think a Siakam is the answer. I think the answer is athleticism and youth, right? But this comes back down to the two things we talked about before, right? Those Warriors two draft picks of Moody and Kuminga. I still am on Kuminga, but Steve Kerr has to trust him. But again, Franz Wagner, Tyrese Haliburton, LaMelo Ball, there were some guys here that could really extend the second window of the Warriors. And now that window is not extended, you see guys, you know, that have to play up the part every night and they're not. Klay played fine, took 8 of 15, 4 of 9 from the 3-point line with 22 points, 0 assists, which is kind of funny. But I think a change is going to have to come to the starting lineup. I think he's going to not bench Klay until he just plays like trash and until it's like he doesn't have a choice. But I do believe some size is going to have to come. But guess what? They don't have any size. Kevin Looney is their best rebounder. He's basically the size of a power forward. Draymond Green is going to have to be a team rebounding thing. So a couple other things. When the Warriors started to win, they kind of really pushed the small ball thing. And teams kind of recalibrated what they did and kind of went small. To me, the league had went back big again. And it's kind of interesting because the Warriors get out-rebounded a lot. They get scored in the paint a lot. They struggle with opposing bigs a lot. And it's kind of like this good game, bad game thing with them to where, like, there's no consistency. You know, when you look at their full schedule, like I said, they win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. And even when they win, there's no loud margin of victory. There's no real thing that's saying, okay, they're back. Listen, the Warriors are much closer to the end than they are the beginning, right? The end of their run, and they are at the peak of their run. Remember, Steve Kerr also says a year and a half ago the Warriors won a championship. A year and a half ago, a lot of things were different. So I don't love that reference point. Let's talk about what the Warriors have moving forward. So, it's not looking good. So real quick, we're going to talk about their schedule for the rest of the year. So this Tuesday, 12-12, they have Phoenix, at Phoenix. I'm going to say that's a loss because Bradley Beal is expected back. Even if he wasn't and Durant doesn't play, I still expect Phoenix to win. Then they got the Clippers. Let's say it's a pick-em game, Brooklyn. They can win that game, but it's not a given. Portland, they just only beat Portland by 5. Boston, that's a loss. I'll give them the Wizards. Portland, I'll give them Portland the second time. Then they have Denver on Christmas. That's a loss. Then they have the Heat on Thursday, the 28th. That's a loss. Then they got Dallas on Friday. They could win that game, but it's not likely. And then they got Orlando on the 2nd and Denver on the 4th. Yo, it does not get any easier for the Warriors. So, you know, like I said, change is going to have to come internally. And it's now or never, man. Like I said, they're a good enough team to where they'll kind of hub around 500, right? They won't be so bad that, like, yo, they're 10-20 and they're 10 games under 500, but they're not good enough to kind of stretch a lead, right? Even when they win games and the win margin of error is just so small, they're in real trouble, right? They're in real, real trouble, and they better do something, man. So good luck to the Warriors. I don't buy it. I think it's coming to an end. Unless a trade is made or something to change the dynamic has to happen. Because if the dynamic doesn't change, again, the definition of insanity is to do the same thing and expecting a different outcome. And it's absolutely insane to think that this Warriors team is going to win a championship unless they have some youth, some athleticism, or another veteran. And that's just how I feel about that. So my third topic is, and I wanted to make sure that I gathered myself before I started, is Zion Williamson. So I've been very... I monitor Zion a lot, and I've talked about the Pelicans some, and when he's played well, I've gave him some love, but I was a little hesitant to go in on Zion, right? I try not to rant on this podcast as much as possible. If I have to rant, I'll do it, but I would rather, like, you know, kind of give you some game and some intellect and some conversation, right? I think ranting is cool, but I gotta be honest with you, man. Zion, I always pronounce his name wrong, I'm sorry. He's not giving greatness, right? He is absolutely out of shape, right? And his shape is always kind of a question of topic, but watching that whole game, and again, I watched him, but again, that was the first time I could do like a super deep dive on that game. There wasn't one play where it was a full 24 seconds of engagement, right? So there's a defensive possession to where, you know, LeBron's driving to the rim and he passes to a shooter in the corner. Zion runs to the shooter. The shooter takes one dribble and he kind of tries to get into the paint And Zion just kind of stops. He passes the ball, and he kind of repositions himself. And then Zion, like, after a while, kind of, like, revs up the engine again. There was, like, no consistent moments of effort. And his launch point, I talked about this before, his launch point is the same, but he doesn't have the same lift. And again, I don't think the lift is because of, like, injuries and stuff. He's massively overweight, right? And it's like, look at Zion his first year in the year, or go back to Duke, right? And again, the reason why I say that, because that's him, all right? When he's much more slim, much more thinner, and getting up and getting busy, great quick jump. And then look at now, it's just like, it's not good, and it's not looking good, right? Now, here's the thing. You can't bench him because, one, you pay him a lot of money, and he needs to play. But two, like, yo, this is unacceptable, man. I believe there was fines or clauses in his contract, right? And again, his former trainer had tweeted about him and being in shape. And it's kind of funny because in the beginning of the season, he looked good. He looked like he was in pretty good shape. I think with Zion, it's not about getting into shape. It's about maintaining a good shape for the entire season, right? Because again, he can get into shape. I've seen multiple times, start of 2021 season, the start of 2021-2 season, he can get into shape. But his to start the shape, like him and not even Luka, because Luka's not this out of shape, to start the season to where he is now, it's bad. And so I'm going to also, the Pistons with a team I'm going to see, but I still might see the Pistons play, but I want to see Zion play in person. I'm going to make sure I can find that game for the Sixers so I can go see that game in Philly. So actually, let's do it together real quick. So the Pelicans come to Philadelphia. This is in live time. On Friday, January, February, March the 8th. Tickets are about $52. That'd be pretty cool. I would like to probably do a show right after that game. I think I will do a show after that game. So, yeah, I want to see him in person. That's 3 months from now. So I'm hoping and I'm praying that he's in much better shape. 3 months is plenty of time to get in better shape. But I'm hoping I just get a better version from him from there, because I hated what I saw. Shout-outs to Charles Barkley. Shout-outs to Shaquille O'Neal. Yo, the necessariness of Shaq and Charles is that there's not a filter. And when there's not a filter and there's no programmed, you know, verbiage being built, he just didn't look good, right? And it's not, and it's like they said this before, you know, it's kind of funny because, again, we go back to Charles. Charles talked about himself, about him not being in shape. But he was like, yo, there's no Moses Malone on his team. And again, it's hard to find a Moses Malone in general, man. But there's no veteran to kind of hold him accountable and like, yo, you're out of shape. Even when J.J. Redick kind of went at him before about like kind of being despondent from the team and, you know, having your own team, like, I feel like there's got to be a little bit more accountability from him and his quote unquote camp. Like, there's no way. Yo, he looks so bad, man. His launch point was bad. His angles, he does a move where he does his hard dribble and he gets into your chest. And he just, there was no consistent effort of movement, right? There was like, all right, I'm about to get him real quick. All right, let me take a break. All right, there was like short burst of athleticism. It was like small bursts, but there was no sustainable injury of movement. And it was horrible to watch. It was horrible to watch. It was horrible to watch, man. Because like I said, man, he is so much better. Real quick. So before Joel Embiid started his MVP run, I want to take y'all back to maybe the 2018 season and 2019 season, right? And I remember I went to a game. I never forget. It was versus the Cavaliers. The Sixers wound up winning this game in overtime. But the thing about basketball is, as much as you see in person and as much as you watch on TV, it probably tells you half the story. When you go in person, it's one, obviously, these guys are huge, right? They're much taller and bigger and faster. But when you go in person, you just see what you can't see on the court. And, you know, when I watched Embiid play, and I was like, yo, it's crazy, because I was like, he's playing lazy. Now, mind you, he had 25 points and 8 rebounds, right? And so you kind of say, yo, how does somebody with 25 points and 8 rebounds playing lazy? When you're so talented, you can just score just because you're on the court and you're good. You're just good. You're good enough to put up numbers. But the thing about it was, there's a difference between putting up numbers, being good, and being great. So when you see him beat now with consistently great performances, that was a manifestation. It was a maturation process. Remember, Embiid was also a guy that, you know, had problems getting into shape and, you know, have to be better and being more mature, you know, drinking his diet, Shirley Chisholm's, you know. So, you know, I'm hoping that Zion can have an Embiid-type growth because it's not all bad, right? It's not all bad, but it's not looking good. It's not looking good, and it's sad to see because it's like, okay, you got a weight problem, but are you doing everything in your power to stay in shape? No, I think you're doing some things, but I don't think his diet is good. You know, it's just not looking good. Again, you're a big guy. You got so much impact on your knees. You already, you know, you jump hard and aggressive. So you just hope that for his own sake, he kind of finds his way. Because, again, you know, referencing Chuck and Charles, Ingram and CJ McCollum are better than him at this point, and they shouldn't be. When he's at the peak of his game, he's the best player. But he's not the best player right now because he's not in shape. And, you know, sometimes it's good to be embarrassed. You know, even after the game, it's like, I got to be better, blah, blah, blah. I don't care anything anybody says. Words are empty. Actions are everything, right? I don't care anything he says. It's all about the action. So, again, that's an official thing. We're going to go see that game in March. Yeah, I'm gonna lock that in because I'm praying a better version of him comes today, all right? A couple of news and notes before we get out of here real quick. Do I want to talk about that now? Knicks center Robinson to have ankle surgery. So Mitchell Robinson will have surgery on his left ankle this week. The operation will take place and he will be reevaluated in 8 to 10 weeks. He was hurt on Friday in a 133-122 loss at Boston. He's already been ruled out against Monday. Again, I don't know how he's been ruled out against Monday. I mean, I don't know how he's been ruled out for to be determined if they say he's out. He'll be reevaluated in 10 weeks, so he should be out for the next two months. So, I don't know. Hardenstein will play in his place. So, real quick, I want to go over tonight's games, but I want to go over a couple other things. So, my man Bradley Beal is supposed to be back. There was a video about a month ago of Bradley Beal shooting the ball, and it looked like a 97-year-old man taking a jump shot. And I don't say that to be mean. It was just like, yo, whatever is wrong with his back is wrong, because that was like, it was like seeing your pops just take a jump shot. So I'm hoping Bradley Beal feels better. Back injuries are dangerous. Back injuries are dangerous because they just, I don't know what the official problem was. So real quick, Phoenix guard Bradley Beal is available to play Tuesday against the Golden State Warriors, according to Frank Vogel. Beal had just played 3 games this season. He has dealt with a back injury. Acquired from Washington Wizards in an offseason trade, Beal was expected to form a high power big three with Booker and KD, but injuries to both Beal and Booker have prevented the trio of all playing together this season. Booker missed 8 games. Durant has played in all but 3 games, and they play the Warriors on Tuesday. So I'm interested to see that game. I'm interested to see Bradley Beal return. And it's very important to see the Suns get their third star. But even with their third star, I'm a little shaky. So I have a hot take on Wednesday that I'm not going to give off Tuesday, because I want to have a little bit more context to it. A couple other things around the league. LeBron wins MVP. Adam Silver tells Ja Morant he will meet with him before his return. And that's pretty much it. So let's talk about tonight's games real quick. I'll do my picks and we'll recap them on Wednesday. All right. So, Heat and Hornets, the Miami Heat are favored in this game. The Heat just came off of a weird loss. I don't think Bam Adebayo is playing tonight. He's out. But the Heat should win. I'm going to go with the Hornets. I'm going to go with the Hornets to actually win this game. Pacers and Indiana, I think the Pistons will keep this game very competitive, but they will lose. They cannot win without Jalen Durant, but I do expect a great game from Cade Cunningham tonight. Orlando at Cavaliers. No Evan Mobley tonight. I'm going to give it to the Magic to win. Sixers, they should easily beat the Wizards. Denver and the Hawks. So Jokic, real interesting, has had 2 really poor games, right? And I don't think it's a trend or anything. Obviously, he's a great player, just struggling a little bit. But the Hawks will be an interesting matchup. I'm going to pick the Hawks to beat the Nuggets tonight. That's going to be my upset pick of the night. Raptors and Knicks. Knicks are favored by 4, even though they don't have the starting center. I'm going to pick the Raptors to beat the Knicks. Spurs and Rockets. So the Rockets are coming on. I think the Spurs are going to keep this game very close.
I want to pick the Spurs, so I can't do it. Spurs are going to keep the game close. The Rockets are going to win. Mavs and Grizzlies. Mavs are going to win. Luka game. Milwaukee and Chicago. Milwaukee will beat Chicago, and Damian Lillard will have a good game tonight. The Pelicans and the Timberwolves. This is a really fun game. Battle of the Bigs. You got Towns and Gobert versus Zion Williamson and Valanciunas. I don't know if Anthony Edwards is playing. He's going to be the swing. I'm guessing he's not because New Orleans is favored. So I'm going to go with the Pelicans to win this game. Jazz and Thunder. I love OKC to blow out the Jazz tonight. Nets and Kings. Kings. And Clippers and Trailblazers. The Clippers are not back, but they are playing well. And Harden is playing better. That's important to say, right? All right, so again, we'll be going to be back at for Wednesday about 4 o'clock. Episode will be posted by 5. I'll try to have this out within the next 10 minutes. And I'm coming right back with Friday. So again, back to 3 episodes a week. Please like, share, and subscribe. I appreciate and love all of y'all. Tell a friend to tell another friend to tell another friend about the pod, all right? Hashtag know your role player. Y'all be good. Peace.